vacuum on at 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. Vacuum on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zero, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
Here, we got a roll program.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
Welcome to the Paranormal UFO Podcast. My name is Grant Cameron, and it's June the 25th. Today, everybody's been waiting for, a lot of people are calling it Disclosure Day. It's the end of the 180 days report to be delivered to Congress by the Navy Defense Intelligence Agency on UFOs. I want to talk a little bit today about whether this is a disclosure or a cover-up day. Most people are calling it a day of disclosure. I, however, think it may be more a day of cover-up. One of the things we know for sure is that whatever happens today, the media is going to dig even deeper, and this will be an issue that will go on for quite a while. That this is something which the government's been covering up for 75 years, and there's a lot of people that believe there's a lot that has to be unraveled. Most people say it's going to be a 74-page report, of which only four pages are going to be made public. One of the rumors, according to Sheehan, he had heard from reporters who were being told off the record that the people producing it said they didn't even have to make anything public if they didn't want to. I think what's going to happen today, whatever happens, it's just going to be lighting the fuse to a bomb that's about to go off. I, however, think today is a day of cover-up, and I'll explain what I mean. To understand what's actually happening or what has happened, we need to go back, I believe, to 2015, when this whole thing began. The whole thing, I think, starts in part with John Podesta. And Jim Semivan actually stated this to Melinda Leslie, that we have to go back to the disclosure efforts that were sort of done with the Clintons and John Podesta. John Podesta makes a phone call to Tom DeLonge, which is where I think it all starts. Tom DeLonge has this meeting with Lockheed Skunk Works in a skiff. He is sent to Washington, D.C., by these guys, and they to meet with these intelligence guys in Pentagon City. There's just two guys sitting behind a table, and they tell Tom DeLonge about helping with the disclosure effort that Tom wants to do by saying things like this do not happen at the White House. They do not happen on the Hill. They happen when men behind tables like this decide to take the ball and move it down the field, which would tend to indicate that this may be a non-government disclosure, where it's not an official thing that's coming from the White House. It's people inside the government who have decided they want the information out for whatever reason. This is the same story that was given to Bill Moore back in 1980 when the official that he was talking to said, I represent a bunch of people who believe that this story should be made public, and I'm here to help you. So DeLonge goes from place to place. He's given these various people to work with him. And he phones John Podesta. John Podesta said, I'm kind of busy, phone me back in 2 months. 2 months later, Tom DeLonge doesn't phone back, but Podesta phones him. And my impression from that was that John had to figure out who this guy was, who is he working for, who in the government or who around is talking to him. And he said, I'm ready to be involved. This is important. Fly to Washington. So Tom DeLonge flies to Washington. This is 2015. There's a meeting January the 25th, 2016, which involves Tom DeLonge, John Podesta, Robert Weiss from Lockheed Skunk Works, McCaslin, General McCaslin from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and General McKay, who is Space Command, on disclosure. And so this goes all the way back to then, and I was told a number of times in 2016 that they were going to drop this thing. What I was told clearly was a number of high-level officials are going to come forward, they're going to say UFOs exist, and they are going to force disclosure. The other thing that's important to remember is in 2016, Hillary Clinton is running for election for president, and she says on the record that she had made an agreement with John Podesta that if she became the president, she would do a disclosure initiative. She would release whatever she could. She's asked by Kimmel on his show the same question. And Kimmel reminds her that her husband had been on and he said that he couldn't find anything, at which point she sat there and said, well, I'm going to do it again, indicating that this was an initiative. So I'm told that this was going to drop. I was told that the big man would appear on 60 Minutes. This is supposed to happen in 2016 already. At that time, I think the big man, this is before Lou Elizondo came on the scene, the big man was Jim Semivan. And so the story then, the rumor was that they were going to go to 60 Minutes. This is all planned, which is an important thing to remember. These things don't just happen randomly. And all of that I put in a book called Managing Magic, which was released in February of 2017. This is 8 months before Tom DeLonge had his news conference, before Mellon appeared, before Elizondo appeared, before anybody knew that Jim Semivan existed. And what I describe in that book is exactly what has happened, this idea that high-level officials, whether it's Justice or Mellon or Elizondo or Semivan, would come forward and say UFOs exist and try to force this out. So 2017, the other important thing we have to have in this discussion is that in 2017, on October the 4th, and this is just my understanding as to what happened, in the morning, Lou Elizondo resigns his position with intelligence. That afternoon, Leslie Kane flies into Washington, D.C. She's given a phone call. She's given a tip. She flies in. There's a meeting. It takes place at Pentagon City, the same sort of area of town where Tom DeLonge met with these two guys behind the table. And she interacts with Jim Semivan, Al Putoff, Chris Mellon, and Lou Elizondo, which is basically To the Stars Academy. So she meets with them. The meeting goes on for hours. According to Leslie Kane, she said things were basically laid out for us. They had a laptop. They showed the videos. They had the videos out. The videos were out in September already, before or a month before that. The videos were already on the street. They'd gotten them out. And the key thing to remember in this whole thing is that all the people in the room were retired. They waited till Elizondo retired, which gives plausible deniability, and which also is important to remember because it would appear if all the people were retired, then this was not the government. This was some sort of initiative by people who used to be in the government who want this story out, almost the same story that Bill Moore was given. These would be people who were pushing the UFO issue for whatever reason, whether they wanted for research purposes or to just basically get the answer out. They had interacted with the phenomenon and wanted it out. So that, at that point, and Luel and Tom DeLonge actually says, I hired Elizondo away. Then within a week, Elizondo, Chris Mellon, Jim Semivan, Steve Justice are all on a stage, a news conference with Tom DeLonge announcing the beginning of To the Stars Academy. And according to Sheehan, one of his latest interviews, he said that they had used the films, these three films, as a public campaign to push the issue. So the other thing that needs to be remembered here, because people think this random thing, that these things are just happening by random accident, I still maintain that the Washington Post and Politico both went on the same day as the New York Times, and if it took New York Times two months to do the story, Washington Post and Politico didn't dream up the story in 5 minutes. They were working on it as well, and they had their own sources, which meant they were being fed the story as well. So this was a well-orchestrated effort to get this thing out. I was told at the time that it was Semivan that was setting up the New York Times thing. Now I think Mellon is indicating he had something to do with it. One of the important things about Mellon was that in 2016 he appeared on Coast to Coast with me. I was on the first 2 hours, he was on the third hour, and he was asked by George Knapp what he thought of my discussion talking about UFOs, Area 51, and government informants, that there was this move, this disclosure thing, and things were being dropped, and he said, no, I don't believe it. If there had been a UFO government program, I would have known about it. And a year later, he's part of a briefing team that's briefing the New York Times on the ATIP program. The dam had broken, and it's almost like Sherlock Holmes said, the game is afoot to Watson. Not a word. Into your clothes and come. And off they went. And ufology has never been the same after that October 2017 meeting. There was a number of interviews that were done with Melinda Leslie, with Jim Semivan. This is going back 3 years, and Semivan stated quite clearly in those interviews to her that the major initiative that was going on with To the Stars Academy was to pressure the Congress to do something. So some people figure that this attachment that went into the bill, the COVID bill, was Donald Trump. It had really nothing to do with Donald Trump. It had to do with the fact that Congress had pre-pressure. They had provided Jim Semivan, maybe orchestrated some of this, and Mellon had been inside Congress. He knew how to operate inside Congress. So they had set this whole thing up. They provided briefings with Eric Davis and others, with the pilots, and they had convinced the Congress people on armed services and intelligence to make this request. So when a bill goes in, there's a lot of attachments. There's a lot of pork barreling and all this kind of stuff where people attach things to bills. So this was attached to the bill. The 180 days started ticking in December, and today is the end of the 180 days with this report being released. But the report was forced by Congress, not by the White House. As soon as they learned, this is looks the way it looks because of the timing, is that as soon as it was announced that Congress was going to make this move and they were going to request this report from the Pentagon, Mellon and Justice and Elizondo all left TTSA. Elizondo said we're moving into second gear, and he also said there was a plan. So it was almost like they didn't intend to stay any longer at TTSA until they got this initiative with Congress. Then things are bigger, then we don't really need TTSA anymore, we're moving on. And the bottom line position is, and this is where it gets important, the Defense Department was suddenly forced to do something. And that's where I say this today is much more of a cover-up than it is a disclosure, because the Defense Department did not choose to make this disclosure. They had no intention of saying anything. It was because TTSA, or To the Stars, forced their hand and provided these briefings and forced them to produce this report. They never would have produced anything. So this is not government disclosure. This is basically the Defense Department today trying to disclose as little as possible. Anybody who doesn't believe that has to explain why did they destroy Lou Elizondo's records, his records and his emails. They're destroying stuff as fast as they can. They are trying to hide as much as they can. So what's happening today is something they're being forced to do, but they're not going to do any more than they have to. And Danny Sheehan was just on two nights ago talking about this and how they're going to try to avoid saying aliens. They may be forced into saying UFOs exist, but they weren't even prepared to do that. In the original drafting of this report, they were basically going to say the films are real and not admit that the UFOs are real. Sheehan believes, we'll see what happens today, but Sheehan believed that they might actually say that UFOs are real today. So it's this idea that once you say something, it just leads to the next question. So the Defense Department is going to do whatever they can to dampen this thing down, not to provide any more leaks, provide any more material with which to feed the blood in the water, because that's what's happened. The blood in the water and the sharks are circling, and it's all starting to fall apart. So what happened with this is once they realized that they were under this pressure, started to destroy Elizondo's material, and the important thing is not so much this report, but the IG threat, the IG complaints that were made by Danny Sheehan, the 60-page report, which goes into the whole idea of Elizondo being threatened, trying to pull a security clearance. And this shows that this was not a Defense Department disclosure. They were furious at Elizondo that he did not hold rank, and he went and started talking about this stuff, put them in this position where they have to now answer questions. And they did everything they could to stop him. And thank God Danny Sheehan is in there and now inside. It may have actually worked to the UFO community's benefit, because now Danny Sheehan is inside the walls of the Pentagon. And I don't think they're getting him out there. He's basically knows how the game is played, and he's got his foot in there, and he's got ability to talk and to force issues. And he said quite clearly he intends to push this thing as far as he can. Now, one of the other things that I noticed, and I didn't really realize until today, was one of the things that I was watching, and I've always watched, is Ron Pandolfi from the CIA. Now, there's a there was an investigation already done, an IG investigation done of Ron Pandolfi a number of years ago, according to Dan Smith, who was his assistant. And Dan Smith had reported on this back in the 1990s already, because Ron Pandolfi was interacting with Dan Smith on UFOs. And the whole idea was, well, UFOs don't exist, and why is this CIA guy interacting with me? CIA is supposed to be foreign intelligence, and I'm supposed to be really getting their nose stuck in and talking to civilians about UFO. Apparently, according to Dan, I think there was a $100,000 IG investigation done, and Ron Pandolfi was cleared. Now, the thing with this is that Ron, as soon as the To the Stars Academy did their news conference in October of 2017, I had Dan Smith, we were in contact with him, and he was watching the live broadcast at the same time, and I talked to him right after the live broadcast, and I said, okay, what does Ron say about this? And Ron started this whole story that always puzzled me, and that was the whole idea that he called it a techno scam. And he said that these guys are all a bunch of crooks, and they helped put off and stole millions of dollars from people like Church's Chicken and Firmage, and talking same sort of thing, that Kit Green was part of the scam, and they're all scammers, and it's all this techno scam thing. And it didn't make any sense that they were saying that they were doing this kind of stuff. The only thing that made some sense is that they were going to try to get money for research, but he kept calling it a techno scam and putting these guys down. And it didn't really make any sense. Now it makes more sense that it may have been part of this initiative by the Defense Department to badmouth Elizondo and everybody else involved in this thing to try to kill the story, because the story was starting to leak out. These guys were forcing the issue. So my question is, I'm wondering whether Ron Pandolfi is part of this intelligence, this IG investigation that's going to take place, because he was basically doing the same thing. He was calling all these guys down, and he is a government official, and so we'll see where that goes. He had already done one very puzzling thing, which I've mentioned on a couple of broadcasts before, and that was that when I discovered who Jim Semivan was back in 2016, I actually went to Dan Smith and I say, what does Ron say about Jim Semivan? And it came back to me. He said, Jim Semivan doesn't exist. And Ron made him actually take a posting down and said, quit posting lies from loons. And so I'm going to Dan, this doesn't make sense. Like, why is he denying Jim Semivan exists? And Dan said, well, because he doesn't exist. And I said, well, he does exist. Let me guarantee you the guy exists. And this went back and forth and back and forth. And then suddenly I said to Dan, I said, you want to see some photographs of him? He said, you got photographs of him? I said, yeah, I got a photographs of him and Chris Bledsoe. And I provided. And at that point, then the story changed. And Ron and some of his associates told me, yeah, okay, Jim Semivan exists, but that's not his name. So they played that game. And it was like, it was very weird. Like, why are they doing this? And then finally the admission came later. Indirectly, not directly to me, but through somebody else, that, yeah, okay, Jim Semivan exists. But the point was, if Jim Semivan had been head of covert ops for the CIA, why is Ron distancing himself and doing all this kind of stuff? And Semivan had made a very sort of negative remark about Ron Pandolfi when he was asked about it by one of the by a researcher. And so this whole thing didn't make any sense with Semivan. Why was Ron going through so much effort to destroy this whole story? And it may be because he was playing the game. It was an initiative that was put out to destroy these guys, that they'd gone rogue and the security of the program was under attack. And we have to take these guys down and discredit them so nobody will listen to them. And that only occurred to me today, that that's maybe part of what this techno scam was all about with Ron Pandolfi. Again, I mentioned before that Lou Elizondo's emails and his files were destroyed. And that's sort of the way the government works now. You can do stuff, and then when it gets discovered, you just say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I didn't really think they were that important. So that would be the last thing, because if those emails did get out, and they still might get out because Lou Elizondo says, there are other people who've got the emails on the other end, and the defense people don't know who they are, that all that stuff, if Dan Sheehan can force this investigation, will all be exposed. All that material will come out, all these emails that were destroyed by the Pentagon. Lou Elizondo actually made a posting today. Today's Thursday. To all my supporters, colleagues, a profound thank you. And to all my haters, you obviously aren't aware of my other faults. Laugh out loud. Now, he's always been very hurt by people saying bad things about him, and I think he hasn't been in the UFO community long enough. Everybody knows how this game works. We eat our own young, and if you come in talking about stuff you can't talk about, non-disclosure agreements and stuff like that, it's somewhat probable that people are going to attack, because the UFO community has been led to the slaughter a number of times by intelligence people putting out stuff. So when I heard that Danny Sheehan was defending him, then I said, wow, this guy may be the real deal. But there's still some people who have some problems with Lou Elizondo and all of them, which may be part of whether they're part of this effort to kill this story or whatever it is. Now, a little bit of update on what's just happened recently. There was just, Danny Sheehan was just in another meeting where he talked about the four-hour meeting June the 15th at the building where the IG is, a building separate from the Pentagon, where he came. Lou Elizondo was told to come, and he was supposed to sort of testify under oath, sort of an intimidation type thing. He's supposed to testify to IG under oath that what he was saying was true and stuff. And that's that point. He said, I'm bringing Danny Sheehan along. And they said, you're bringing your lawyer along. This isn't, we're not accusing anybody of anything. And so then they ended up bringing their lawyer. The Pentagon lawyer ended up in the room. And there was a colonel from the U.S. Air Force there, according to Danny Sheehan, and the guy who filed the first IG report to say that they were looking into the UFO thing and just doing a review. He was there. There was a bunch of people there, Danny Sheehan said. And this four-hour meeting took place, which Danny thought was, in the end, pretty productive. These people were sitting on the edge of their seats to start, trying to figure out what is going on here. And I think after it was all sort of over, they sort of realized who they're up against. And one of the things that Dan Sheehan pointed out was that they were playing this game of saying, we're not looking into violations of rules, and we're just looking for an effective protocol for future events, things like that. And Danny said, okay, that's a good start. Yeah, that's fine. But no, we're going to push for a full investigation, and we will provide names and everything. And at that point, then the IG said, well, we really don't know if we can do an investigation like that. And Danny basically said, well, I'll give you so much time, but I'm only going to give you so much time, and then we're going to move on. That he's moved it from them trying to do just a review, sweep it under the rug, to the fact that we've got them where we want them, and we know all the names, and there are now four IG investigations that hopefully Danny can pull off. Right now, they're just sort of like these review things. They're trying to figure out where they're going to go. But Danny is determined he wants a full and open investigation. He calls it a legit bona fide investigation. And the IG says, well, we don't know if we have the authority to do it. The key to that is Danny Sheehan will not give up. He's not walking away. He's in there. He's exactly where he wants to be. They brought their own lawyer in. The government will admit as little as possible, whether it's today or in the future. They're still going to play the game for whatever reason they believe they have to cover this thing up. You know, every answer leads to a new question, but they're up against very good media. In Canada, the media is pretty bad in terms of this issue, but the New York Times and Washington Post, Politico, some of these Fox News have all picked up on this, and they've got some pretty high-end reporters with intelligence sources, and they're digging. So if nothing comes out today, the reporters know there's a story, they know they've been had, and they're going to dig deeper. So finally, one of the things that Danny said, they're still trying to push this Russian and Chinese nonsense, and that's the whole idea. We don't want to admit UFOs. We don't want to admit this may be off-world. We have to find anything we can to kill the story, whether it's they run out of the swamp gas and the balloons and stuff. So now they're still trying to push this Chinese and Russian initiative to move it away from it being anything paranormal. The key in the end of it all is to watch Danny Sheehan, because he's on the inside. And as a lawyer, they can't cut him out of the process. He's waited his whole life for this, and he's taken on the national security state for 50 years. I think it looks very promising, but as for today, we're still in the game of the Defense Department's digging in their heels and trying to do everything they can not to let this thing proceed and to try to make it look like nothing ever happened, and continuing to cover up for whatever reason they've decided to cover it up. That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see what happens today. Good luck.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.